Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This past Monday, this song was sung in celebration at Ralph Ramsey's funeral. And singing it in that environment, thinking of an individual who has gone on home that beat me there, little rascal. He's gone on home and he's in heaven. Singing that song just brought new light to those words. God has made it possible for each of us to go to heaven. Is that cool or what? Sometimes I get to thinking about what it's going to be like. You know, to sing praises to God all the day long. You know, to be up there and to live forever in a place that where there's no pain, there's no sadness, there's no disease, there's no evil. And sometimes it sounds just too good to be true. But I really believe that it is. I believe I get to go there someday. You know, many of us here have that same assurance. That blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, that you belong to God through Jesus. And if we have that assurance, then we really have something to look forward to, don't we? We've got life, eternal life. Eternal, that's forever living with God, our Creator, the Father who loves us without conditions and without limits. Last week, we talked about the importance of letting God get a hold of our minds and letting Him transform us through the renewing of our minds. And as we allow God access to our minds, and we are transformed through His access to our minds, and then our minds will start thinking about things in heaven more than things on earth. That our focus will be more on what life's going to be like there and less on what life is like here. And the more that we are made like God in our holiness and our righteousness, then these thoughts will fill our minds and these cravings will fill our hearts. And we will crave that ultimate transformation when we get a chance to leave this earthly body and be transformed into a new body in heaven. In Philippians 3:21, we come across this word transform in God's word again. It says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like His glorious body. The transformation we talked about last week, it was a process. It was an ongoing process. Transformation that we're talking about today, the transformation that's talked about in Philippians, is immediate. It's quick. When we get a chance to be transformed and we get new bodies, glorious bodies, that will be like Jesus' body. That'll be a serious transformation, won't it? That's for all of us. Not just for some. And that's an exciting thing to look forward to. And I get jazzed about it. But what does that do for me today? What do I gain from having this information now? How do I apply this to my life right now, today? How does this change what Monday looks like for me? Well, I believe that this truth has a huge impact on our life today. And that though we have not received our new bodies yet, the understanding of this will change our existence in the here and now. Knowing this truth, looking forward to this truth, being excited about this truth, gives us a present attitude based on a future promise. an attitude that would be very difficult to gain if we weren't told about this future transformation. See, if I really believe this truth, if I believe this, then I believe that as a Christian, my citizenship is in heaven, not here, not here on earth. I physically reside here on earth. My body's here. But my home is in heaven. Where I belong is in heaven. And this should transform my existence right here on earth. This should change what's important to us. This should change how we live our life. What drives me? What motivates me? What makes me happy? What makes me sad? What makes me angry? This truth changes my existence right now. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. If you flip through the New Testament, you got the four Gospels, you'll pass Romans. Well, actually, Acts, then Romans, Corinthians. And then slow down, because you'll hit Galatians, Ephesians, and then Galatians. Yes, Ephesians and Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back up to the beginning of this chapter, and we're going to take a look at some of the thoughts that Paul had as he was leading up to this truth that we as Christians are citizens in heaven. And we're going to look at how this truth is to change our existence today. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 2. He says, "Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." See, Paul starts off this chapter and he says, man, this is what I live for. This is what consumes my life, is life in Christ. This understanding that I am a citizen of heaven, I have life in Christ, and this life in Christ here on earth, it ends mysteriously with this resurrection from the dead. And he says, I want to be a part of that. Because that resurrection from the dead means we get to live forever. And he says that he wants to do everything he can. He wants to live in this way so that he might gain Christ. That he might be found in Him. To be found in Christ. You know, a lot of people are in search for who they are. Who am I? You know, I believe that a lot of us have this underlying desire, if not all of us, to know ourselves. To know who I am, to find our identity. And we search for our identity by using so many different things. And I mean, you can see this in the inverse as you get to know somebody else. When you're getting to know someone else new, inevitably, if it's not one of the first few questions, it ends up coming up soon in that conversation. You ask, what do you do for a living? Right? And this is just one of the many things that we base our identity on. What do you do for a living? Oh, I follow the elephants around at the circus, and I professionally relocate post-digested elephant food. You know, you automatically place an identity with that type of person, don't you? You put them in their own little box due to what they do for a living. Think of the identities that you give to these different responses to this question. Most of these just be immediate. What do you do for a living? I'm a lawyer. What do you do for a living? I'm a fireman. What do you do for a living? I'm a social worker. What do you do for a living? I'm a grocery store bagger. What do you do for a living? I'm a minister. See, in each of those cases, you instantly attach that person to a preconceived idea, a preconceived identity that you've got connected to that occupation. And this just doesn't happen with our jobs. I mean, these are so many areas in our life that we base our identity on. You've got our jobs, our education, our experience, our families, our hobbies, our talents, and our abilities. And most of us like this. We like to be able to say, this is who I am. Here's my resume of life. This is me. We like to have some sort of identity, something that we can call ourselves. But there's a real problem with this method of finding ourselves or defining our identity this way. See, our resumes of life, they're constantly changing, aren't they? Constantly having different things to put in there, new things. They sub each other out. And so, in essence, our understanding of who we are is constantly changing. And so we don't have a stable source of our identity. But as Christians, we have been found in Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our identity doesn't lie in our resume of life. Our identity lies in Christ. My identity is found in Christ. And Christ is a stable source for our identity. Why? Because He doesn't change. In Christ, we have an unchangeable measure of our self-worth. You know, when we gain our identity from our resume of life that's ever-changing, instead of gaining our identity from Christ, we see a lot of struggles with self-worth because our self-worth is constantly fluctuating with our resume of life. We base our value on our accomplishments or our lack of value on our failures. Our resume of life points us toward our scoreboard of life. And we look at that scoreboard and we say, man, I've got a lot of points in the accomplishments, and I've only had a couple failures in my life. I'm doing pretty good. And we base our self-worth on that. We say, well, I'm a pretty important person. When you do that, it's easy to get a big head on you. The other is the inverse is true as well. When we look up at our scoreboard of life, we say, oh my goodness, I can't get anything right. I must be a loser. See if I need that one. Yeah, I do. Scoreboard of life, where were we? Loser. Well, that wasn't in my notes. But we look up at a scoreboard of life like this and we don't feel valuable. We don't feel like we're an important person. But Paul says, as Christians, as citizens of heaven, we should not put confidence in the flesh. That means we shouldn't be putting our confidence in this scoreboard of life. Our confidence is in Christ. I'm a citizen of heaven, not a citizen of earth. My confidence is in Christ, not in my earthly scoreboard. Paul shares with us in this passage his life resume. He shares with us his life scoreboard. And depending on how you look at that, Paul is either a very accomplished person or he's a very bad person. And you read some of this, and you see that he was a very educated man. He came from an elite tribe, a strong family line, and he was enthusiastic about his religion. However, his enthusiasm for his religion drove him to celebrate the murders of Christians before he became a Christian himself. It caused him to walk into towns with papers in his hands and to arrest Christians and to throw them into prison. Paul says that he counts all of these things as rubbish compared to his life in Christ. Now, this word Paul uses here is skubalon. This word is used only one time in the New Testament. And there's a good reason it was only used once. I want you to repeat this word after me. Skubalon. I cannot believe I just heard that from you guys. I'm embarrassed that you guys use such language in church. I mean, you guys just cussed in Greek. I'm serious. I mean, this word was a vulgar word. It's the equivalent to a Greek cuss word. It was a vulgar word in the day in Paul's culture. And in a modern day equivalent, if I were to try and use one, you'd be very offended by the word that I would have to use. This word was a vulgar word that described one of two things. It either described unwanted food or human waste. And Paul wanted the Philippians, he wanted them to understand the gulf between how he viewed life on earth and life in heaven. Here's my citizenship in heaven. And my failures, even my accomplishments, even the things that are good in my life, the things that I could take positive pride in, I count them as skubalon, so far distant from this idea of being a citizen of heaven. Paul wanted them to see the intensity at which he viewed his understanding of being a citizen of heaven, being found in Christ. Being a citizen of heaven. This is what Christ offered at the cross. And when we truly see what Jesus is offering, then we will consider all other things rubbish. Whether they are our accomplishments or our failures. It won't matter because that's not where our identity comes from. That's not where our confidence comes from. And this directly transforms how we live today. Our existence is transformed here and now. Continue reading with me. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. If our citizenship is in heaven, and we are looking forward to these new bodies that we will be gaining, that we will be transformed into, then we will not be able to say, I have arrived. Not until we're standing before God in our new bodies. I have not yet arrived. You know, I don't think I hear this. I don't hear us speaking these words. I don't see us walking around saying, I've arrived. I'm done. I'm a Christian. I don't have to do anything else. But I'm scared that I see it sometimes in our actions, in our lifestyle. We get comfortable. We get lazy. We serve to a point, and then we sit back, and we feel like we've earned our keep for the day. But until we look in the mirror and see a body that has been transformed into a glorious body that resembles that of Jesus' body, we have not yet arrived. We have something to live for. We have something to strive for. Something to just keep going for in our life. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we have new bodies to look forward to. Our identity and our confidence is in Christ. And we must be constantly pressing toward our goal. We cannot sit back. We cannot get complacent or lazy or comfortable. This is not an option for those who expect to be transformed into a heavenly body. I have to constantly press toward my goal of heaven. And our life, our existence is transformed from this understanding, from this mindset. And we have something new to compete for, something new to run for. And it's not about my resume of life. It's not about throwing stuff up on there so I look good. It's not about my scoreboard of life and all the accomplishments that I can make to make that scoreboard equal out or at least look more positive than negative. But it's about a race. And we need to be concerned with the finish line of that race. And that race is not based on a point system. You don't get style points for what you're wearing in the race. You don't get style points for how you run the race. This race is not a timed event. Some races will be shorter than others. Some will be longer than others. It is your life. And your finish line. This is your race and your race only. We cannot let our earthly accomplishments or our earthly failures stand in the way of running this race. We cannot let our earthly resume get in the way of running this race or our earthly scoreboard to distract us from this race. This race is so much more important than those things. We cannot get caught up in being a citizen on earth. We have a race to run, and that finish line, it resembles a border where we cross from this earth into heaven, our homeland. Paul says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. As unique as we all are, I mean, look around, look at yourselves. We're unique people. As unique as each of us are, so are our races. Each race we have is a unique race because they're given to each one of us. My race is not your race, and your race is not somebody else's race. You can't compare races. You can't look side by side and say, well, look at their race. Look at where they are. You can't do that because that's their race. Their race is their race, and your race is your race. And the beauty of this is that I can only be what I am today. I can only live up to what I have already attained. Think about it logically. It's impossible for us to be more than what we can be. More than what we are. People talk about giving 110%. You really can only give 100%. It's a nice thought. But we can only live up to what we've already attained. But we also need to keep in mind, we should never live below 100% either. This race is not a competition with others. But it is simply a finish line. And the question is, am I going to be running to the fullest of my ability when I cross my finish line? No more, no less. I can only be what I am today. Let's finish reading this. Verse 17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Amen. If you have entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then your citizenship is not here on earth. It is in heaven. And we eagerly await that day when we will be transformed into these poor, broken down, worn out bodies into a brand new heavenly body that will be like Jesus' body. And if this is the case, then why do so many of us live a lifestyle that resembles somebody that lives as an enemy of the cross. Paul says that many people live in such a manner, and he says it brings him to tears thinking about it. If you're still hanging on to your citizenship on earth, then what good is the cross doing for you? Oh, I love the cross. You know, none of us would want to say, I'm an enemy of the cross. In fact, we hear that and we say, well, that's not me. That's talking about other people. I'm not an enemy of the cross. I love the cross. I've got cross jewelry. I've got a shirt with a cross on it. I've got a cross patch on one of my jackets. But what are you living for? Are you living for heaven or are you living for earth? You can't live for one and claim that you're living for the other. It doesn't work that way. If our identity is in Christ, if our confidence is in Christ, if we have not yet arrived, but we are running the race to the best of our ability to reach that finish line, then why do we fall back into a lifestyle of someone who lives like they have no citizenship in heaven? We're just living like people who are enemies of the cross. If our goal is heaven and we're truly looking forward to that, then we're really living for that day. Right? I mean, that's an expectation we look forward to. And we cannot live as hypocrites, saying that we live for one and having our minds on earthly things. We say we're excited about going to heaven, but we say we're running the race, but our actions show that we put more importance on this life than our eternal life. We strive for earthly accomplishments and payoffs. We have an appetite for more and more and more earthly stuff. We revel in our glory here. We seek attention and recognition here. We have this attitude of entitlement here. And we find a certain satisfaction in things of this world. The very things that will pass away, that won't last. Money and health, cars, jobs, degrees, social status, prestige, power. All of these things will pass away. And yet, we claim that we are citizens of heaven. All the time we're putting stock in our earthly life. I do want to say that there is nothing wrong with being wise about our earthly dealings. A good education, a good job, they are important. Cars are very fun to drive. And they actually get you from point A to point B a little quicker than walking. You know, we should be a good steward of our money. We should be good stewards of our bodies. We should take care of ourselves. We should work out. We should eat right, yada, yada, yada. But if this is your focus in life, if this is what is your main importance, and folks, as we enter this new year, we need to do a reality check. We need to get serious about what is important in our life. What is our primary focus? Can I honestly look at the things on earth and say, that's scuba on compared to knowing Christ? Those of us in Christ will someday be transformed from this old body into a new body. Is that what you're living for? Is that what your focus is on? This promise, this citizenship in heaven, it's given to Christians. It's given to those who have willingly laid their lives down before Christ. It's given to those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have repented of their sins, and who have been baptized into Christ, receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit, being forgiven of your sins, receiving citizenship in heaven. Where is your citizenship right now? You know, I mentioned earlier Ralph Ramsey's funeral Monday. And at his funeral, his son got up to speak and said just a number of wonderful things about Ralph. And as I was sitting there as a new father, I'm thinking, you know, I really hope my children can say those things about me when I've passed on. And one of the things that jumped out to me, that just kind of highlighted in bold text that I thought was just amazing that they could say this, was he said that Ralph didn't want to leave this earth because he didn't want to leave his wife. He didn't want to leave his family. He said, but he prepared for this day. What a comforting thing for the family to be able to say. Ralph was prepared to leave this earth. Ralph had prepared to leave. Ralph's citizenship was in heaven long before he left this earth. What would your family be able to say at your funeral? Do you have that blessed assurance that you belong to God through Jesus Christ? If so, live like a citizen of heaven. If not, make it happen today, man. Just come forward. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you want to give Him your life, then just come forward. Die to your old self. Be baptized and raise a brand new person. And have citizenship in heaven.